Games Workshop's basement.
Danny, don't talk. That's all. So we can't ruin the intro.
Danny McDevitt.
I promise I won't. Yeah.
I'm Dickie. And
it's the After Dark.
Welcome, everyone, to Grim After Dark, Warhammer's only late night show for some reason. My name is John. I'm here to misinform and entertain as we talk about the goings on over the last week in the world of Games Workshop. This week, we decide nothing. That's not what we do here. We discuss the forbidden popcorn bucket. We test our team's emoji skills. We're going to test Danny's ability to convince before bringing it all home with an all new Prices Redacted. And if you enjoy what you're seeing or what you're listening to, just comment below and just tell us how many hours of sleep did Danny and John get combined over the last 24 hours. Before we go on, though, let's meet the team who make it possible. First up, it's the co-host with the co-most, all the way from Moscow, Idaho, and he puts the T into RTT. He is our competitive champion, casual runner-up, our very own best in show, and someone with too long an intro now is Danny McDevitt.
That's so long.
And then finally, he's the man behind the Iron Curtain of Canada.
Oh, the iron.
He is the unicorn with a horn. I didn't think of a rhyme for that. It's Ted Kristicki.
You know what? You guys may have not had sleep, but you look fabulous. Let me just tell you, both of you. Just
fantastic. I like maybe the unicorn with the little horn.
Oh, yeah. That's perfect. Think of more while I adjust the slideshow thing small. I forgot.
It's average.
Not bad. It's an average. Yeah, it's average. Yeah.
Much like Tiki, it's imaginary.
It's like
the perfect 4 inches.
6 inches. It's there.
Whoa, Dongaloid. Calm down.
Yay. I've seen you in real life, and if this animation is at all proportional to you, that is nowhere near 6 inches.
Wow. That's what she said. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much for bantering while I fixed the slideshow that I forgot to do before the show started. And I only thought about when introducing the show.
Love it.
That's all it's got to do. Some complaints last week that the graphics were too fancy and polished and it was making people nauseous now. So we're just going to keep rolling with it. That wasn't even our comment of the week this week. This week I have two and they're mainly Patreon questions. From the old Discord we have. We have two because they're quite both fantastic.
Yep.
Our first one here is going to be very jerkily coming up. Question here says, the Grim After Dark crew have been appointed to GW's marketing crew. GW in this case responds to Games Workshop. Henry Cavill's 3-hour-long 40K epic, which is a phrase that brings fear to my heart. I'm going to be honest, it's about to hit cinemas around the world, and you are charged with drumming up excitement. Corporate have decided that the Dune 2 popcorn bucket, aka the Shahalusi, was an amazing idea. You now have to design a Warhammer 40K popcorn bucket in the same style as a Shahalusi. What 40K creature will be the base for this greasy depository? So, Dickie, Danny, I can answer this too. What are you sticking your hand in?
I think that there's a couple of good answers here. I'm going to go with the obvious and probably the most classic answer, which is the Amble.
Oh.
Known for its extreme kung fu grip.
Yeah.
I think that this could really revolutionize the Shahalusi model and bring it into like 40K as the premier sex toy.
Mm-hmm. I have two, and then we can go to Dickie. My original one was going to be a Nurgling.
Okay.
You stick your hand in the butt, and you, because it's spreading, obviously, because this is a classy thing.
Yeah.
And then the other one would be, there's a really great art of Abaddon, like, holding the world in his claw like that.
Oh.
So the power claw is just a popcorn bucket, and you reach into the talon of Horus to do it. You could have sex with the Talon of Horus.
Sounds sharp.
Dickie, what are you having sex with? I mean, sorry, what is your popcorn bucket?
Oh, that changes my answer a bit.
Thank you.
Perfect. I think the first thing I was thinking about, it was just a big squig. And then you have to put your hand in his butthole in order to get the popcorn out.
I like that none of us assumed the mouth was where you should put your hand.
No,
and
no,
two-thirds of us said it was the butthole.
Yeah.
Clearly.
But yeah, there's nothing that says 3-hour Henry Cavill epic translation of Eisenhorn than a squig asshole on top of your popcorn.
You love to see it.
Beautiful. Our next question here, this kind of came this week. They did announce that Louise Hugden from Rogue Hobbies was going to have a signature paint set from Monument Hobbies, which is very cool. And I'm just going to click on the wrong part of the screen.
Perfect.
And ask real quick, if Grim After Dark got its own signature paint set from Monument Hobbies, what would the paints be called? Please don't answer this with Wingdings. My answer for this, by the way, is this guy here. This would be a three-color Winamum, is what it's called. Okay. And inspired by Neapolitan ice cream, it has three separate paint colors in the same dropper bottle.
Good luck. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this would be easy to do if, as long as you don't shake it up. I mean, you could have different like surface tensions or viscosities the paints are, so they kind of float on top of each other like a fancy alcoholic beverage.
Just airbrush it, man. No one's gonna care. Just show them the paint ball, but like, there's one color on there, it's kind of brown. I'm like, nope, it's three color minimum. It comes with a Grim After Dark guarantee that 7 out of 10 judges will accept it.
Three color
minimum. The other three are all the head judges at Alveo.
Yeah. Jerks.
What a statement.
Danny, what's your paint color?
Yeah, okay. Sorry. And I was going to answer with Wingdings, and then I decided not to. By a request by our patrons. That just shows you guys how much I like you, because normally I would just give the worst answer I possibly could.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it would be a baby blue color called Big Baby Blue. And it would be representative of me in my natural state.
I like that. Big baby blue. Mm-hmm. I think that would be good for edge highlighting, because you're such an edge lord. Dickie.
Okay, so I had an experience this year. I went to the Crayola experience, and my daughter we could make our own crayon color. So my wife made a crayon color that probably fits this show better. She should be honestly in this seat.
Was it called Disappointed Spouse?
And no. It was called Angus's Lipstick.
Oh.
And that's all I'm going to say, because you don't have to learn about it.
Angus's Lipstick?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I know where this is going.
Yep.
Dickie, that is not appropriate.
I know. No. I'm sorry.
I'm assuming Dickie's dog is called Angus.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Well, what are you going to do? That's the first thing that came in my head. I'm sure it's hilarious.
Beautiful. Chat coming in strong. Danny's would be a paint thinner called Danny Sweat, which I think is...
Danny Sweat.
Top tier. Sherman, we're just going to hire you as a writer because you're funnier than the three of us.
Yeah.
Black, white, and red, the Sin City comic color scheme. Which, by the way, now that battle ready is the minimum, just Zenith highlight all your stuff and put dashes of red on it and just say you were inspired by Frank Miller when you painted it. Perfect.
Huh.
but yeah, now I want to know about the Crayola experience. You know, it's time. We've had a lot of jerky animations kind of come through, but let's go for that sped up, overly loud state of play transition.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's right. Still sped up, but I changed the video this week.
Yeah, but the video is of something that I hate deeply in my soul.
AI art.
Is that what that is?
No.
Here, let me hit it again. Maybe you like it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, Dickie, I didn't like it once. Let's do it again.
My favorite thing is you sped it up.
Thanks, buddy.
I sped up the Space Marines to be in time with the music.
Did I speed it up again?
So you sped it up again, but the Marines didn't match. That's
get
fine.
Out of here.
That's fine.
Nice.
Just can't help a tinker, can you?
GW, please don't sue us. Codex Studios, I don't think you exist anymore, but if there's a lonely person who worked on that, then yeah.
don't blame the unicorn with the micro horn.
We're making it stick.
I need a new puppet.
Improving.
Welcome to State of Play, where we take a lighthearted look at what's been going on in the Warhammer community in the last week, starting with this stuff here, because apparently I didn't update that.
Oh, man.
Age of Sigmar wasn't the only thing that leaked from the high-quality Chao Ming factory for the publication of Western Lies in Preschool Facility, as this appears to show an Imperial Agents Codex that it should be coming out here. Danny?
Yeah.
Would you welcome an Imperial Agent Codex into the fold, even though the majority of current armies do not have an updated codex?
So, John, I think what this is aiming to do is to reduce the number of codexes that will actually be available to people. My understanding is this will contain Death Watch, Grey Knights, Inquisition. So it's actually going to be a consolidation of rules rather than additional rules. That people, you know, so it's not taking away from anyone. It's actually speeding things up so we can get things going.
Oh, nice.
Dickie, do you think this is just coming because GW wants to have another book that's as thick as the Space Marine Codex?
No, I don't think so. I think, honestly, if this is what I think it is it going to be, is this actually going to be Grey Knights and Inquisitors? Is that what we were thinking this is?
Yeah, Grey Knights, Inquisitors, Death Watch. It might even be some Sisters of Battle stuff.
Ooh,
I look forward to people complaining that they have to carry five books around with them just to use this one codex.
To play custodies, yeah. Oh, too funny.
But yeah, Dickie, how would you expect it to play? Do you think it's going to be just separate armies in the same book? Are you going to be able to mix and match between Grey Knights and Sisters and Witch Hunters and things? Or is it just going to be detachment rules?
You would think it'd be detachment rules, right? So, like, you can have a Grey Knights detachment. I'm going to be honest, thinking about this, there's going to be a lot of jank in this book. Like, it's going to be you're going to have to really dig deep to find the combos in this thing. And they're probably plentiful. So I'm actually pretty excited to see it.
Yeah.
Danny, will this be an imbalanced book because of the sheer number of units that it implies inside it? Or do you think GW's learned enough to be able to balance it a little better?
Good question, John. You know, it's often a crapshoot with Games Workshop. I feel, but like, not necessarily and always the bad way. It's always kind of fun to find the things that are not quite at the same speed as everything else. So, depending on how they organize detachments and that kind of stuff, like what you can take in any particular detachment, whether there's like a combined arms inquisitorial force that has all the different factions as part of it all the time. Mm-hmm. That could be kind of cool, but I'm really interested to see rules for this. I think it could be a really neat book, but also I worry it could just be a big book of like a big nothing burger book that like kind of just a bunch of units that kind of like, well, like not to say that Cities of Sigmar and Age of Sigmar is like necessarily like a bad faction. I have no idea if it's good.
Let's just say it is. Get that.
Yeah, sure. Through. But it's a place where they like, it's a repository for a bunch of units that they don't know what to do with.
Like every kill team release in the last year is in this book.
That's a code. That's your next codex. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey guys, I made these really cool orc commandos. Dude, we're not releasing orcs for like a year.
Oh no.
Get it together. Get it together. The kill team. Well, exciting to see what's coming down there. Next up, we have this beautiful picture shared by our very own Tech Priest Dickie. We're doing the do with Tau. Danny, you might have seen our episode tonight is titled Tower Fine You Jerks, which was the nicest way I could respond to a lot of the comments that are coming in. Dickie, Danny, how have the internet reacted to the Tau Codex that's come out or is coming out? And then how are they actually playing?
Man, you know what? The community has been so welcoming for new Tau. They were excited. They really enjoyed the fact that Sibs were gone off of Christ and Suits. No, I'm kidding. It was a shit show, obviously. People lost their mind. And I don't know. Like, people, were they burning models? Is that the thing they were doing, or they were just flaming on the internet now? That's my
favorite. And Danny, you can jump in after this. Here was someone in the Tau competitive group who said they were going to email Games Workshop and let them know that because of the new Tau Codex, they would no longer purchase models and would solely 3D print them. And for me, I would like to have proof that he hasn't just been 3D printing the entire time.
Yeah.
And is using this fake receipts. Yeah. Receipts. Danny, what's your take on Tau? How have they survived the 10th edition transition? They've gone through the Codex Primaris.
Yeah, I think that they're in a pretty good place. I don't know. They seem a lot more fun to play against now, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm sure a lot of people are going to enjoy, right? Like, because they were kind of not fun before, honestly, right?
Right.
So I'm excited to see where this goes. I don't necessarily like, I think crisis suits being reduced to capping them at 3 models is, and also fixed war gear and weapon options kind of makes them a little drier. But ultimately I still think that they're probably pretty fun to play. But yeah, I definitely want to give it a whirl. I think it seems really fun.
Doesn't this configuration of them mean you can take more crisis suits now, though, based on how they've done it?
Yeah, they're separate data sheets, so in theory, you can take more. I don't know if you're good, but
yeah, that's true. But yeah, but I mean, you can take, like, for instance, like a wheelbarrow can hold an entire wheelbarrow full of diamonds, but it can also hold, it can also be full of shit. So, like, just because you get a bigger wheelbarrow, it doesn't mean you're always going to collect more diamonds. You know what I'm saying?
By, like, Saturday, I need you to produce, like, a Danny's 40K moment of Zen short, which is just him comparing an army full of crisis suits to a wheelbarrow full of shit.
Oh, shit.
It's that subtlety that we're known for here.
I don't know if I would go with crisis suits are a wheelbarrow full of shit, but I think they're pretty good.
Whoa.
What?
That's not what I said.
Well, I disagree.
Okay.
Icky, don't do it. He has years of training to tell you why you're wrong.
I think honestly, I'm stoked. Like I pulled my old towel out of the closet, dusted them off. I was like, man, maybe it's time to play some Tau. Breachers look friggin' fantastic in Devilfish with a little Fireblade guy in there. Monka looks great. The Counter-Strike detachment looks fantastic. The Kroot looks, you know, like Kroot. I don't know what to tell you.
I think the Kroot rules are unbelievable in their detachment.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Really? You didn't think so? I thought that they were insane for their cost. 85 points for -1 to hit, 5 up nimble.
Yeah, well, so points were not really so if you've noticed, they reverted all the points back to the original index points for all the models. So we're not exactly sure what the points are gonna be, but
7
exactly.
That's okay, correct. I mean, yeah, but if they stay at 70, like let's say they stay at their current point value,
they stay at their current points value. Yeah, there's some that are really overpriced, so some of the shapers are really overpriced. But I think, honestly, when we look at the new points, I think Kroot could be a viable swarm kind of concept for sure, which could be really interesting. There's a trick that you can, infiltrate and then scout. After you infiltrate with one of the Kroot units, I was like, holy moly, that's pretty good.
They also have recursion. Like, it's a 2CP strat to bring back an entire squad of Kroot, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's really good. So, all of this is points depending, right? And I'm looking at suits right now, and the current point value that they're at, I feel like they're, or the point value that they have previewed. And, then that's all I can judge it on, right? I don't know how many points these suits are going to cost. I hope they're cheaper, but like 50 points a model for a suit that doesn't have an imbol save.
It's tough. We'll have to wait and see. I know I pre-ordered the Kroot hunting pack box. So I'm excited to get that. I think once we get the points, maybe we'll do another dip into the tablet.
Yeah. I was going to say nothing's going to make me sadder than showing up at an RTT. And seeing him playing against Tau come up and get a whole plan together and show up at the table and it's just croup.
It would be amazing, actually.
Like, you would be upset about that? That wouldn't, like, you wouldn't be excited to play against like a whole crude army?
Cool.
You know, I would be, to be honest, because I have a lot of shooting. And I think I would rather shoot crude than other things. moving on. I've been randomly grabbing YouTube thumbnails here and just kind of going off of their titles here. Yeah. And this one here says, hello. Which one? Very polite in a Facebook group to start with.
Hello. Really nice. Yeah. You can tell that they're a boomer.
Nobody likes a cheater, but they are your best mate when you don't stand up to their shenanigans. Best mate, by the way, implies English. And just as a heads up, sadly, there is cheating in tournaments that and sucks. It won't go away without a great deal of collective effort. I made a video discussing how we should with cheating and poor conduct. I think he missed a word. But I'm going to ask you guys, based on this thumbnail and polite introduction alone, what is the one thing he recommends to stop cheaters?
What do you got, Danny? You got
the one thing this guy is asking to
people to do to stop cheaters.
Sure. Public beheadings, John.
Fair.
Wow. That's a very drastic
nuclear option. Sorry, that's the Texas option.
It will stop cheating, to be fair, because cheaters will no longer be alive. I feel that, you know.
One way to stop it, I guess. You
cheat in heaven, John. That's what they say in Texas.
Pro-life, unless you cheated dice.
Cheated Texas. Oh, man.
Sherman, if it's in the U.S., it'd be put a gun on the table. That's why I pointed out this person is most likely British. In fact, I know there is because I watched this whole video. It's pretty good.
Okay.
I figured it was because they were using mate without talking about sex.
That's fair. That would be, if you want to make a group of English men very uncomfortable, stand in the middle of them. And when they say mate, it's like, oh, like having sex with your friend. And then just walk away and just watch them not interact with each other.
Be like, are we going to pair bond too? Like maybe build like a nest, like kind of, you know,
avatar this shit. The entire ponytails together. Dickie, what was the one thing he said to do? Danny's gone for death. Do you have something maybe a little less extreme or more? I don't know.
Okay. So you let the cat out of the bag. He's English. So. Yeah. How is he going to stop you from cheating?
He's going to organize a line of a queue.
A wooden pallet. No, I think he would just have a stern talking to, just to give him a stern talking to. Probably what that is.
That's probably enough.
Yeah.
No, sorry, wrong button. You ready, Dickie?
Okay.
Yeah, it was just talk to him about it.
Yeah.
Call him out and don't let him do it.
That is a very English thing to do. Okay.
Cowards.
And be firm. And then he also said, I mean, if it gets to a point you don't agree, call a judge. And what he hears a lot of people do is say they don't have time to call a judge. Spoiler, if you are at a tournament such as LVO, you have less than a 0.1% chance of winning LVO. Your standing isn't going to be affected by calling a judge and waiting 3 minutes. But yeah, it was actually a really good video. And yeah, just cheaters suck. And they're all over content right now. So I would like them not to be, so we can talk about something else.
Yeah.
Danny, what are your legal tips for dealing with cheaters? Not like your legal advice, but legal things you can do to avoid cheaters or stop cheaters.
Well, you should talk to the judge or the tournament organizer of your event.
Nice.
Or like you said before, behead him. Then you don't have to
worry. I'm just saying it's always an option. Like, don't take it off the table just because it's not, you know, it's not socially accepted like everywhere. Sense.
Now you're going to have a bunch of RTTs in Texas where people are going to show up at the table and a guy's just going to take out a gun and put it on the sideboard.
Be like, I gotta be honest. I'm
this here right now in case we have to have a conversation later about where you roll dice.
I'm so surprised that has happened.
That did happen in Fairbanks.
Oh, no.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, internet chat, if you're wondering, there's a northern town in Alaska called Fairbanks where someone had a gun pulled on them at a Warhammer tournament. in a threatening manner.
Jeez Louise.
The state is the worst, Danny. Please don't come back. In fact,
I can't wait to come back.
This is job security for Danny for like literal decades because, yeah.
It's true. Wow. They just can't help themselves, John.
Yeah. And then Falcon Hunter saying he paid 5 points for that gun. It's a part of his army. We're like, do you have that auto pistol modeled on your commissar? No, no. It's on my hand right now.
No, no. Nay, nay.
gross. Anyway, let's go for some classic bumper content and we'll go around the net. Yeah, that one didn't change.
I'm like, you hit it, everything's good.
It turns out my willingness to randomly get creative lasted for exactly two bumpers, and that wasn't one of them. Who knew? But anyway, welcome to Around the Net, part of the show where we dive deep into the dark drivel the internet provides. And remember, Warhammer is a community, and it is also awful. First up, Games Workshop this week shared their emoji challenge on their Twitter page. And I'm going to ask the guys here, can you decode these, starting with the top one here? Top one for 5 points is the number four.
Four emperors.
What's that?
Four emperors. Four kings?
Four skin? A great movie four with crowns. George Clooney.
Like, I mean, they might have bad teeth, John. That's what this could be talking about.
That's fair.
What else could that be?
Oh.
I will say I remember what two of these are. One of them
I know what it is.
What is it?
Four monarchists.
This is a left-leaning liberal late-night show, Danny. Yeah, we don't do monarchists.
I don't believe in that false dichotomy, John.
I want an inbred family ruling over me. Speaking of which, is for the emperor. This next one here, a little trick here. I do not remember what this one is about. We have teddy bear face plus number spin plus stop sign.
So the one on the bottom?
No, the middle one.
The middle.
Oh, teddy bear face. Okay. Sorry. I thought I stop sign. Oh, you mean the handout?
Yeah. It's like, like hold or stop. Or
stop, if hold. You flip your bear upside down, he's easier to digitally penetrate.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's one of those little lore boxes and codexes in the bottom right hand corner. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also how we deal with cheaters.
Digitally penetrate them.
Become bear and digitally penetrate them. And then last up, we have stop sign, dog face, down arrow.
That's like a yield or whatever. What's the one with the line? Yeah, it's yield.
Down arrow, and then looks like Neptune with rings. What is this one?
Okay. No.
Submit to the wolf in Uranus.
Is it? Yeah, down bony people. Is it no wolves on Fenris?
It is no wolves on Fenris, but I will say
that? What? No, it's not.
Poor choice, Games Workshop, because Fenris doesn't even have rings. Bet you feel pretty foolish now.
I was going to say, yeah, does it have a ring?
Well, no, let me just keep reading from the script so this seems natural. Because you guys did so good at those ones, ooh. I created a bunch of emojis too. Starting with this one. We have stop sign, Italian fingers, dynamite stick, lipstick.
Oh, no.
There is every possibility. I chose random emojis I found funny, and these don't actually relate to 40K.
Why don't you go? Do you want me to go first, Dickie, or do you want to go first on this one?
Well, the lipstick is kind of like getting really personal from Angus, so I was going to say,
obviously, John, you made this to represent Dickie's story about Angus. Angus, please put away your lipstick.
Or I'll blow you up.
Dickie, stop touching your dog.
Dog's egg. Yeah, don't touch his dog.
Dynamite.
Stop putting firecrackers
in your dog's lipstick. Jeez.
Yeah, jeez, dude.
That would suck.
That's one way to solve a prolapsed urethra, but
it was actually we marched for McCrag.
You know, that's kind of a common problem with bulldogs. Did you know that, John?
Oh, what's that?
A prolapsed Dickie touching urethra? Them? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now you do.
Wow. That's true. Oh, and then Jack Kwan's let us know the second one was Jorn the Fell Hand, which makes sense. Because he fell. It's not a backflip. So Jorn the backflip.
That was like a somersault.
It's not even in English.
Yeah.
Too old for this shit.
Well, Bjorn is not bear in English, I'll tell you that.
You don't know how space wolves talk. They're not real.
Huh?
Maybe he's like,
again, John, I can't argue with that. You're right.
That's true.
You got me there.
There was a comedian or something that said you can say whatever ridiculous stuff you want as long as you finish with a fact. So that's what I'm going for now. This one here might be related to 40K. We have shouty face minus brain equals goat.
Self-explanatory. You just said it, right?
Yeah.
When you don't think before you speak, you look like a goat.
Oh. Yeah.
Or when you don't think before you speak, you're a tau player.
Oh, hey.
Because here's the thing. I didn't call them fish people because they're goats.
I'm so proud of you, John. Like, for real. I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, they're cows, but like, this is a really good step.
It's a good step
forward to where we need to be. Yeah, they're ruminants.
Oh, and I think our last one here is we have police car
cops,
police car plus shushy finger face.
Oh, did something wrong and you don't want to get caught. Clearly, I don't know. Pretty self-explanatory, but
what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, John. I feel like that's what this is saying, right?
Oh yeah. Or yeah, you've rolled the dice behind a ruin, but it wasn't a number that you thought it would be.
Oh dear.
Oh, I lied. There's one more.
Did you like these? Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
this is, I love these actually. This is fun, man.
Eggplant plus time plus chains equals watermelon.
Oh.
This one was just emojis I thought looked funny. I didn't realize there was a chain emoji.
This is
a
sensual one, right, Danny? This is all about.
Yeah. Stuff. Okay. So this is saying. It's time for dessert.
Oh,
when you take the eggplant off the chain.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dickie. I like this one in our chat.
Is that unicorn going to shit rainbow ice cream?
No, no. Crypt Shadow says dick time edging.
Oh
man. Who said joking? Come on, guys.
Oh, I don't want to know. But Daddy, I have the greatest news. I put these at the forefront this week so that we could get to them. I have the Necron slides I've been putting off for a month, and we're going to be so disappointed because the questions are shit. That's okay. Danny, what are we looking at here?
So I guess maybe this is, I see. Okay. Yeah. I got it. So what we have here is a meme, John. Now a meme is, I'm just kidding. So for audio listeners, what we have is two pictures side by side. It says Necron Lord have two sides, and one of them is white and one of them is black. On the white side, it's a black background photograph of what I assume to be a Necron head. It's kind of, but it's shaking so much, it's blurry. And behind it, you have all of the crazy thoughts that they think to themselves because they've been alive for 65 million years.
Mm-hmm.
The other picture is the Chad himself, or is the Chad himself, Tracy in the Infinite, walking down a flight of stairs saying, I know you're here, Orican, you big fucking nerd. Where's my goddamn artifact?
Wow.
Perfect encapsulation of his personality.
Wait, yeah, it is. And Danny, I was going to ask here, is this true of Necron lore that it's either incredibly serious torture horror of a mind alive for millions of years, juxtaposed against incredibly petty people reenacting grumpy old men 40K?
It's perfect, John. And that's why it's my second favorite faction.
What side are you on? Are you on serious lore? Or are you on... give me my money, you nerd.
Yeah, No, John, I'm on both sides. I think they both play an important part, like to take away like the edgelord seriousness of Necrons to make them seem more personable. The only thing that I don't like is when they take it a little bit too far. For instance, when they, you know, make like a Necron pirate character, that is that's one step too far and not something that I'll stand for.
No, and you should definitely look at that in our back catalog of our wonderful discussion about that Necron pirate, which we might just re-release for clicks because I think that would be funny to do. And then you can see what Danny and I look like 5 years ago. Next up, this guy here, which was another favorite of mine that I saw and have been sitting on for a while.
Necron spreading like crazy.
Falcon Hunter, I agree. Trazen, the reason I have a Necron army is from reading The Infinite and The Divine. That's what sent me over the edge. And then reading the two serious books was like, wow, actually, this is super cool as well. So Twice Dead King made me like, yeah, this is super cool, but Infinite Divine is what kind of pushed me over. But Danny, what are we looking at here?
So like that classic picture of Trazen in The Infinite where he's reclining on his throne with his synaptic disintegrator clenched in his fist, just kind of surveying his domain, looking real chill and relaxed. But here,
regal.
They've used a software suite called Photoshop to snip out the image and then superimpose it on a picture of, it looks like women riding in a subway.
You mean this isn't over, real?
No, John. This is actually fake photograph. It's not even actually a photograph, technically. It's a fake digital image.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
I know. What a world we live in.
Crazy. Yeah, we're basically Necrons.
I will say, I did spend about 15 minutes at dinner playing with Microsoft's new AI prompt question thing, Copilot, and ended up with a picture of a bunch of college students on spring break chasing a dragon off of a beach in Fort Lauderdale. And I can't explain to you how I got there, but it's now like one of my favorite examples of stolen images. So
that woman does look scared, though, right? The one
that's true.
She's terrified.
I wouldn't be scared because it'd be Trazen. I'd be, you know,
Girling out, man. You'd be like all.
So, Danny Dickey, if this slide is a demonstration of one of Trazen's special rules, what is that special rule called?
No, it's fine. Don't get up off the couch. Because he doesn't do anything in the game.
Awesome. Love it. Next up, and I hit the right mouse because I have multiple over here. This is also another old one I've been sitting on for a while, but that's okay. This is an example of a Star Wars land speeder from a Soapbox Derby, the popular event here in the U.S., my question for you guys that I first wrote approximately January 2nd when I came across this. Yeah, we've been overrunning for the longest time. is
damn, dude.
What is the 40K equivalent of this? Like, what 40K thing would you build to run in a Soapbox Derby?
Oh, so easy.
It's got to be an orc, right? Like, something. No. Well, because it works, something's actually going to work.
Because you would believe it.
They believe it, yeah. It'll
work. Yeah. But you know that they do.
It's got to be Rhino with the saxophone guy on top, right? The Marine with the saxophone? That has to be it, right?
It was one of my favorite things to put into one of our videos, or the Die Hard intro I did, was just the saxophone Marine. I don't use him enough.
Oh, he's so
and I have him there. We're gonna skip through here. This is gonna be beautiful because you're gonna see all the things that I was gonna ask, but I'm not going to. We're running a little long.
Henry.
Yeah, Henry. Up here. Ooh, yeah. See if you awesome. Pause.
Oh yeah.
It'll come across here. Perfect. Here we are.
Yeah.
So this is where we came up to. This says this is Darth Vader versus Rowboat Girly Man. Location, an uninhabited city. They start 10 meters from each other in character. That doesn't make sense. Why would they be out of character? They're the people. It doesn't matter. Well, random encounter.
Are real. That's important.
Oh, so it isn't just a small plastic model versus the corpse of Dave Prowse?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
voice by no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Random encounter, the win condition, death, which means I don't think you win if you die. I think you win if you kill the other person.
Oh, you have to kill them.
Danny Dickey, who wins?
Gulliman.
Yeah, I think I'm on the Gilliman train too.
Yeah, sorry, Vader. Vader's awesome, and I love Vader. But you didn't see Gulliman get stopped by some mortal psyker even one time. And psykers are way more powerful than Jedi.
That is a sick burn. That is a sick burn. Awesome.
Yeah.
And that brings us right to our new favorite segment. And it's time for Jad.
Where did John go?
There he is. That's right.
Oh no, he actually
got prop comedy this week.
Oh my god.
Danny, you didn't have to go to school for years. You could just buy this stuff off Amazon.
Yep.
And it even comes with a little plastic gavel.
Gavel.
Oh, that's cool. Well, I'm glad you bought a Halloween costume, man.
Instead of gavel holder. I'm just going to use these Idaneth Deepkin dice because there's no way I can actually use them in a game.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You shatter them.
Trying to. Anyway, it's Jad time. It's like Jack, except I don't know what those initial means and Danny's name starts with a D. Aim, we test Danny's persuasive powers as I present three versus battles, pitting our favorite Warhammer characters against other fictional favorites.
Yeah.
Can Danny accurately tell us the ways the Warhammer character will get beaten? And Danny, I think it's very important to point out here, the Warhammer character will lose, regardless of the matchup.
Deal.
Awesome.
I'm ready.
Our first matchup, and Dickie, feel free to chime in here as well, is we have Fulgrim in his non-demon Primarch form versus Kevin McAllister from the movie Home Alone Home Alone 2. And Home Alone 3, I think?
Not Macaulay Culkin.
No, it's Kevin McAllister. No, these are all fictional characters.
Danny. He's in character.
Well, that was an important part of it. I want to make sure we're on the same page here.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does Macaulay Culkin... I got some quiz going on here. How does Macaulay Culkin defeat Fulgrim?
Well, first of all, I'd like to make sure that I emphasize that this is not Macaulay Culkin. We're not talking about a 90 pound 45-year-old addict. We're talking about in his prime, Kevin McAllister, amazing.
I want you to order. I understand I misspoke, but it's really rude for you to point that out like immediately. I think there's a nicer way you could have done it.
All right. My apologies. Anyway, so Kevin McAllister in his prime here, this boy not only has seen off two burglars at one time, but we're talking an entire apartment buildings worth, downtown Trump Hotel worth of villains, including Trump himself.
Danny, do you feel that Fulgrim couldn't take on two guys at the same time?
John, I know that Fulgrim can take on hundreds of men at the same time. I think that's been evidenced in the lore. You've seen it. I've seen some drawings that seem to indicate that he can definitely take on more than one man at a time. I think we've all seen these drawings, right? I don't have to enter these into.
No, this is. We're
Angus,
aware
put
of your
lipstick away, Angus. Oh.
We're aware of your Tumblr account, Mr. McDivitt. Please continue.
Thank you. he's just an amazing trap maker. You've never seen a trap maker that can make traps quite like Kevin McAllister. Fulgrim falls into all kinds of traps. He chronically falls into traps throughout his entire career as a Primarch.
He was fooled by a sword. By
Slaanesh. He gets trapped by a demon. He gets trapped by a sword.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, this is an actual person, not an inanimate object. I don't think Fulgrim stands a chance.
I agree. Kevin McAllister wins.
Clearly. Yeah.
And then Crypt Shadow in chat said slippery oil on floor, extremely complicated trap ironing thingy. I think it's called an iron.
Iron thingy. Yeah.
Got him.
Oh, our next case fight. We have the Emperor of Mankind versus the character of Guy Fieri.
I thought you were going to give me hard ones, John.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
So how does Guy Fieri take down the Emperor of Mankind?
Easily. The heart to any man, or sorry, that's not what I mean. The way to the heart of any man is through his stomach. Uh-huh. And no man perhaps has fed as many people as Guy Fieri has. You've got a man who's covered in gold from head to toe, but yet he can't quite match the style of sunglasses put on backwards and spiked
and a fire Hawaiian blonde shirt hair, yeah.
and a goatee with like a white soul patch. Like, come on. He just looks like, I don't know, like the worst kind of Persian club owner you've ever seen in your life, just bedecked in gold.
Yeah. Counterpoint. You said, food is the way to a man's heart. The emperor is no man. One could even say he was a god.
Okay, maybe to some people. But then again, you know, for the hundreds of people that Guy Fieri fed during the California's wildfires, he's probably very similar way a god to them instead of a god in a fictional universe. So Guy Fieri comes into 40K, feeds all the space marines. They instantly fall in love with him. Yeah. Job's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Guy Fieri wins by becoming the sixth chaos god, apparently. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with that.
Chaos god of donkey sauce.
Next case, we have a great unclean one versus Ernie Hudson from Ghostbusters.
Okay. So this is important. Is it Ernie Hudson or the guy from Ghostbusters?
It is Ernie Hudson, the actor. Oh, right. A fictional person, the actor Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson is the character on Ghostbusters named Dickie.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
No. Winston Zeffmore is the name of the character from Ghostbusters.
Oh, really? I didn't
Ernie
know that.
Hudson is the actor.
Okay, my bad. Wait, so it's the actor?
Yeah, the fictional person.
That's what I'm saying.
The
actor, that's what I said.
The actor Ernie Hudson.
I'm so confused right now. You said he was fictional?
Yeah. Ernie Hudson, not a real person. He is a
fake. I thought you just said he's the actor who portrayed the character in on the Ghostbusters.
1980s. The name the is government Ernie created Ernie Hudson in order to spy on Hollywood.
Are you Googling? Danny's just like, I've had enough. I'm Googling.
Okay. Now I understand. John, I don't think Ernie Hudson can beat a great unclean one. I'm sorry. I just don't think I can make that argument in good faith. If we're talking about his character from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Easy.
I'm back.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Then we're going to go for the Ghostbuster then.
This man is 78 years old, John. Did you know that? I just don't think there's very many 78 year olds that aren't Space Marines or Primarchs or whatever that could like fight a great unclean one.
But yet Guy Fieri can defeat the Emperor of Mankind.
Easily. But it's a loophole,
town, baby.
He doesn't attack head on. What is Ernie Hudson going to do? Okay, hold on. Maybe I've got something.
I want to challenge you, Danny. You know, just throw you up. How does this Ghostbuster defeat this fictional being? Hold on
one second. Now, what shows was Ernie Hudson in?
I only know him from Ghostbusters.
I only know him from Ghostbusters, yeah. Ghostbusters 2, and I believe he did some voice work for Ghostbusters, the animated series.
And I think he's in the new Ghostbusters.
Now, he was in the movie Congo.
Oh,
that's right. That was an awful.
Okay, well, you know, agree to disagree, John. But, you know, when the bad gorillas like were attacking, he was able to, I think, kind of focus efforts, right? Mm-hmm. And warn the white people of their hubris, right? Am I thinking of a different character?
No. Crip Shadow in chat helping out. Thank you from the gallery here. He was also the cop in The Crow. I will say, didn't do anything to stop Brandon Lee from killing himself.
Yeah.
So it's probably not the best.
Yikes.
He was also in a single episode of the MacGyver reboot in 2021.
Ooh. I wouldn't brag about that.
And then did the voice of Winston in Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed, which was a 2022 video game.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you know he was in Airheads?
No. Well, it's been too long since I've watched that movie. So I know, thank dude, you for bringing that up.
Do you think Ernie would just like tell him about all the movies and shows he was in and bore that great unclean one to death?
They might get tired of it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like Carl Weathers in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It would please the court if you could convince me sooner, because this wig is extremely hot.
Yeah, John, I think that maybe he could talk to all the bad movies that he's done and like,
yeah,
I think that that might help. But it's been a lot.
Ernie,
Beverly Hills Chihuahua too. And I think if he kind of recounted his role in that and how he prepared, I think the Great Unclean One's done.
Beautiful. Well, that has been this week on Gad. Play the bumper so I can take the stupid thing off. Oh, beautiful. I love to get demonetized for things. Guys, that was surprisingly hot. If you're a solicitor in the UK, those buildings better be air conditioned. Yeah, I did go cheap on the wig. That was $20 total for the wig and the mallet, which, although it's satisfying to hit, is made of rubber. So doesn't hit very well or hard, but that's okay. Well, let's round this out with our old favorite. Let's get some eBay prices right.
Did you know they were made of horsehair, John? I did not. Those wigs.
Oh, the actual solicitor ones or the fake ones?
No, the real ones.
Oh, I mean, what else are you going to do with your horse when you're busy soliciting?
I mean, after you shave it, you got to use that hair for something, and like, you know, it doesn't taste good.
Maybe like the final year of law school in the UK is you have to buy a horse. And this is to keep the common riffraff out of the profession. Of
course. That makes
sense. And then once their hair is long enough, you make your own wig. And your final year law professor helps you, like Patrick Swayze helps Demi Moore in Ghost.
Wow.
And he just kind of reaches around and helps you kind of knit all of the hairs in.
I kind of imagine it's very much like Hogwarts. Like, I can't imagine that UK law school is not like that.
It's done by very, very poorly described ethnic stereotypes that in hindsight are very offensive.
Maybe, John. I don't know. I'm not here to critique the UK's system of governance or their scholastic endeavors.
Oh, horsehair also used for shoe brushes. So it looks like solicitors in the UK and shoe shiners both have to own handles.
Perfect. I always wanted to live out my Oliver Twist fantasy in real life.
Yeah, there you go, Danny. If it doesn't work for you as a lawyer, you can always shine shoes with the wig you'll have to wear.
That's true, and it'll turn black soon enough. Nobody will know the difference that I'm using it to hide my shame, John.
Or because everything's more expensive now, you get a side gig as a shoe shiner, and when you show up to court, there's just black patches. Hard out there. Anyway, greetings, market lovers of YouTube. Get ready to test your powers of fiscal evaluation in The Price is Redacted. Where we challenge the breadth of your secondhand miniature knowledge. Today's mission, accurately assess the sacred value of the sold items I found searching for Warhammer Betrayal in honor of how Tau competitive groups feel about Games Workshop right now.
They're all babies.
Yeah. Our first contestant, Moscow, Idaho, Danny McDevitt. Our second contestant, Frozen Wasteland, Toronto, Canada, nuclear thing. He's alone. It's sticky.
Wow. Really?
Just blasted through that intro today. Yeah. It's okay. It's because I value your time.
Oh, that's nice.
I try. Anyway, like I said, this week is solely Warhammer Betrayal, which was a much narrower search term than I thought it would be when I started. But hey, we got there in the end. Awesome. Yeah, Crypt Shadow, all of us are dealing with thinning hair. I think something in the codex paper.
I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing okay. I don't
look at those rainbow locks, dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that might muff me. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think it's in the codex paper. Whenever you touch a codex, you lose a lock of hair. And Dicky just pirates digital stuff.
That's why he has a lot of hair. Easy.
The people are listening.
Yeah.
Cool. Our first item here is the classic Horus Heresy Betrayal of Cal 30K box set. New in box, new on Spiro. Sorry, Nib, Nos, open but unused. Which, John, by the way,
if did you buy?
How many of these did I buy? I just got.
Okay.
Really? Did you get three?
I have a problem.
Did you get
how
three?
How many did you get?
Like six, I think, over the course of. Yeah.
You still have them all? Wow.
How many are Nib Nos?
None. I built all those Marines, baby.
Oof. You built them all?
Yeah. I really
like the Marine Army.
Or liked.
Past tense.
You might have a problem. But someone who doesn't have a problem now because they bought that box. Who bought it.
I would say they probably paid about $100 for that box, John.
$100 for that box. Nib Nos?
Maybe. Well, hold on.
I was going to say Nib Nos.
$120.
I like that very, like, yeah. Well, because I think the value went down a little bit because tactical Marines are not really a thing anymore.
Right.
But Dickie, what have you got?
I'm going to say 130, John.
130. The actual value for this guy was $210.
If I could fist pump in puppet form, I would.
Maybe if you spent a little cash on your puppet, you'd be able to.
Arm animations.
I have something.
If I can animate a spreadsheet, you can animate a multi-puppet. Well, now you just see
Check Harry. That out.
All right, Dickie, you're up by one. Our next item. The Horus Heresy Book 1 Betrayal. Forge World Horus Book 1 Betrayal Hardcover Warhammer Space Marine. I have this. In fact, that was my retirement nest egg, was I own every single black book. I'll never sell them because they're gorgeous books that are great to look.
I was going to ask if you maybe missed the window.
Oh, I missed it by far. But yeah, we're going to do a fun thing in a few months where we might peruse through those books on stream.
Cool.
Because they're amazing.
They are really cool books.
But what did someone pay for that on February 21st, 2024?
I seem to remember the. I want to say $85.
You, Dickie, do you think $85 is ridiculous money? Because I just didn't even get
to guess.
No.
I hit the wrong button.
Didn't even guess.
I was going to say $200, though, to be honest.
Danny won.
Okay, well,
it's
the honor system. It's the honor system.
I trust Danny. Also, I hit the wrong button while I was turning Do Not Disturb back on in my slideshow.
I was going to say, man, you just, like, apparently I got it right. No,
okay. No, because you're like bang on. But yeah, $195 for those. Those books average between $2 and $250 per, and I have 9 of them. But the problem is the demand goes down the further along you go. But yeah, sorry, Danny. I didn't want a notification saying Whitney was messaging me or similar coming on the screen while we're playing this.
Oh, yeah. So no, I'm not upset, dude.
I had to turn the.
He's not upset. He got the auto win. Of course, he's not upset.
That's true. Well, all to play for still is our next one here is Horus Heresy Book 1 Betrayal Double Sided Poster, 52 centimeters by 39 centimeters, Warhammer 40K.
$30.
$30 for the poster. All right. Okay. Dickie, how much are you spending?
I don't know. I just read a comment that says Dickie's making me want a squatty body.
don't look that up in Urban Dictionary.
I don't even know why. Okay. So is,
you
this
look
is
like just, the,
what?
You look like the mascot, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a mascot for, and it's a, oh shit. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Oops. Have you not seen the commercials?
That's what the mascot's saying is it's the motto of Squad is, oh shit.
Oh shit.
There you go.
Oh. Okay. You said $30 for a piece of crap poster, huh?
sure did.
Horus.
It is cool. Art.
Like $25? $25?
$25. Actual answer, $1.27.
$23.61
shipping.
Dumbass. Okay. I'll take the win.
You know, Dickie technically gets it. But we're moving on to our next item for betrayal here. This is something Dickie should know by heart. This is Abaddon the Betrayer, Tomato, Tomato, Karn the Betrayer, Warhammer 40K, Surge Foil, Suguga, Tan Mugga, Edda, Nostalgia.
Okay,
Karn the Betrayer.
It's a 10 out of 10, huh?
And it's a 10, a perfect grade for a
CGC. This is Magic, right? This is Magic.
Oh, it's a card game called Magic the Gathering. It's a real thing.
Chat, what are you, by the way. What are you sassing me, Danny? Giving me...
You know, how, what, where did you even come from? How did you even find 40K?
I came out of the toilet, clearly. What do you want?
Dickie, even I have Magic cards. I never play, but they had 40K on them, so I bought them.
Yep. I did not buy them. I'm not a simp, all right?
You know the worst part of this? I'm going to hold this up. This isn't even a 40K Magic card. Why do I have multiple Magic cards?
Who knows? Who knows?
Because you need it because it's a token creature, John.
I don't even know what that means.
But okay, I'm going to go, I don't know, $50. Some dumbass will pay $50 for this. Thanks, okay. Falcon Hunter, for helping me out.
Danny.
I have no idea how much this costs. I'm going to guess $27, John.
$27. Dickie, listening to the chat was a good idea. $49.99.
Smokes. I'm getting smoked tonight.
Maybe. I'm going to.
Yeah. I mean, if we were playing traditional rules, which are pointed out almost weekly in the comment, you just look arrogant when you put your arms up, Dickie. There you go. But T post. Perfect.
nailed it.
Finger guns, too. I'll do the finger guns next.
Oh, okay. Danny. Apparently, he's going to just get the next one auto. The next one here is Legacies of Betrayal, the Horus Heresy book, Warhammer 40K Black Library pre-owned. How much are Legacies of Betrayal? Subtitle pre-owned. Like the Galaxy Burn. Pre-owned. Technically, everything is pre-owned.
Pre-owned.
I don't think that's true.
The company, Games Workshop, like owned
$35
before you
bucks.
Owned it.
People.
Corporations are people, Danny.
Yeah, but not everyone is pre-owned. That's what I'm saying.
Fair. agree.
All right. It's the only way my brain knows to go off. Thank you.
How much did Dickie did someone pay for Legacies of Betrayal, Let the Galaxy Burn, a bunch of short stories about a bunch of whiny bitches?
Oh, like I think I said like $35. $35.
$10.
Okay, Dickie said 35. Danny said 10. It, all to play for. Correct price is...
Oh, God. Yeah, 35. Oh, baby, you're getting finger guns. Finger guns. Oh, it's really bad.
Where's your finger guns? I want to see.
Oh, you can move your arms now. It's a miracle.
Yeah. They're hoops. They're,
it like, just needed do, your sadness do, yeah. to fuel the unicorn.
Whatever. Danny, you got crushed. I dominated you.
I haven't lost that bad. Oh,
like, man. Ever. Yeah.
Wow.
Danny, anything you want to say before we head on over to the outro section?
Well, congratulations to Dickie. He really played a hell of a game tonight.
Yeah, buddy.
I'd like to thank my mother.
Wait, why do you get to thank anyone? What?
God. for getting me here. And, you know, the homies really have always had my back and, love you guys. Shout out to them.
Yeah. That was very gracious and a perfect, way to end it out here. And don't worry, Dickie, would you like to say something as the winner?
Yeah, no, you know what? It's okay. You know what? I don't think Danny should play the games anymore because he's so bad. How about that?
Damn.
Yeah. I'm a sore winner. Are you
hearing me? You think this is
for your persona here?
Yeah. You should see him round one at an RTT as he's trying to gauge whether he should win or draw to go by and how strictly he wants to make you stick to the rules. The boo sound isn't a sound effect. We just recorded people who have played against Dickie.
Booing.
Sometimes, Dickie, I go up to John at the start of the tournament and I go, John, I'm feeling really competitive today. and I'm going to make it somebody's problem.
Mm-hmm. And even though we don't play, it ends up being my problem.
Eventually.
Everyone goes up to John and goes, what's the problem with Danny? Jeez.
Yeah, jeez, dude.
If the headband's on and the sweat is wicking down and he's making these hand movements, like he's standing up, he's like, oh, okay. So
it's down waves.
But it's side to side waves over the table. It's like, oh, okay. And then he goes like this. That's when you know to just sort of walk away from the table for 5 minutes. And you're only laughing so hard because you recognize this
movement. Oh, man.
Oh,
and there's
some people who can bring that out of you like almost immediately. And Tim, we love you, but that is, you're like Danny's kryptonite.
You know it's trouble when the down wave's happening. Got it.
Yeah. True. I've got to make a lot of points. Sometimes I just get tired of talking about why they're wrong. And, you know, it gets old, right?
I'm excited to see you do that in court. When someone tries to argue against you and you're just like, okay,
down waving the whole
time. I'm done with this. This is dumb. Oh, beautiful. Well, guys, go ahead, plug your stuff. Outro time.
Well, you can catch
where's the outro screen
every week.
Sorry.
On the Old World Charm podcast. We talk about old world stuff, what's going on with the game. It's your one stop shop to figure out what's going on with Old World and where you stand. We're still, I mean, it's a new game, so we're still going over a lot of stuff, but we've done our next book review, and we're looking forward to doing an Arcane Journal review pretty soon. So for the new one that's coming out. So yeah.
Well, I will say, we
look forward to seeing you in there.
My Green Knight model comes out tomorrow. Nice. And I'm a cheapskate, so I need that review. Sort of, you want to just shift me like a little MP3 and get me taken care of?
He's not paying for the round two in that one. That's funny.
Dickie.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be editing that podcast probably this week, and I'll be editing this one. Yeah, no, I know. I am boring as hell. I do nothing other than edit podcasts, I think, which is okay. I love it. It's a lot of fun. So,
but yeah, Stockholmed him.
Yeah,
we've convinced him.
He's not here this week. He's out on a beautiful family vacation, but be sure to check Val and Rob out on Square Based. The opposite of Old World Charm, diametrically opposite opinions, and just don't put them in a room together. It's why we have to do the show remotely. Val actually famously lives in Idaho, could do it in person, really? But can't put them in a room together.
I will say, Val will be in England in the next 4 days.
That's cool.
He's going to be playing a game with Tabletop Tactics, Old World, of course. I think 2 games, and you can watch him live. He's really nervous, but he's going to do awesome, I'm pretty sure. So he's going to do that. He's going to be hanging out. He's got some kind of event with the Honest Wargamer Rob. So, tune in for that stuff. It's going to be awesome.
That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah.
And then that's it. That's it for me. I don't have anything to plug. Watch Grim After Dark every Tuesday. Ish.
I mean, you should, because it's a good show.
Yeah,
we're pretty good.
But thank you everyone for joining us here on Grim After Dark. You can find all of our socials and way to support us at grimafterdark.com. We might be back next week. Got to talk to the guys a little bit. We might be taking a week off. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. I like that too.
Yeah, just real time live on air. My wife's going to a conference next week, and I don't know if I can entertain a 5-year-old for an hour and a half by leaving him in a different room.
But
we'll find out.
Reasonable.
If you enjoyed yourself, check out our back catalog on YouTube. If you are interested in Thazar, one of the best Necron characters, check out Danny and I's discussion about where Thazar lies as the worst character in 40K ever in our back catalog. And like I said, if you're all more curious, check out our faction focuses as well as Danny and Val and Dickie's work on Old World Charm and Square Based. From everyone here at Grim After Dark, we'll see you a Tuesday.
It's time to step into the grim darkness. When nerds gather talking Warhammer madness. Grim After Dark, the podcast with the hosts John, Danny, and Val, but they're not the most. Claiming to be experts, but it's all a facade. Talking about battles and dice rolls, they're all odd. Trying to sound cool with their Warhammer talk, but I'm here to expose. It's all just squawk. Nerds, nerds, everywhere I see, talking Warhammer this, like it's a decree. But let me tell you, homie, it is all just a game. In the real world, homie, we are not the same. So put down the dice, step out of the dark. It's time to live life, nerd, make your own mark. Grim After Dark, the nerd's playground. Talking Warhammer this, acting all profound. But when I listen, it's all just a bunch of noise. I love roasting nerds and their stupid ass toys. Stupid ass toys, I wanna grab them. Put my hands around the neck, squeeze, squeeze, Warhammer squeeze, until they can't breathe or breathe again. Tell a friend, I'm out here roasting nerds again.